Welcome to the Web3 Artist Spotlight, the podcast that shines a spotlight on talented artists who are leveraging Web3 technology to sell their art and connect with collectors in new and innovative ways. Through in-depth interviews, we learn more about the artists behind the art and uncover their unique creative processes, inspirations, passions, and the stories behind their captivating artworks. From seasoned professionals to emerging talents, we bring you a diverse range of voices from the Web3 community, and we delve deeper into how blockchain technology, NFTs, and decentralized platforms are revolutionizing the art industry.
Marlon Proust, although a relatively young man, has already established himself as one of Miami's most notable artists. He is a muralist, painter, illustrator, and brand collaborator. His hyper-detailed art has landed him brand collabs and a following both in Web3, where he offers his digital art, but also all over the world. His fusion of street art culture and fine art truly set him apart, and we are honored to have him on as a guest today. And with that, Giancarlo and I welcome Marlon Proust to the space.
Welcome, welcome, Marlon.
Yo, yo. Thank you so much. It's been a while since I've done spaces and stuff. I feel like a lot of the artist spaces stop after the coin stuff started popping off. So we need to keep it going.
We definitely do. And yeah, we've still been going. We're going strong, doing them every week. So still trying to keep it going, still connecting with people in space. So happy to have you here today. I really wanted to actually kick it off. If you could maybe tell us, when did you first fall in love with art?
I've always been an artist, you know. I feel like I was born to do it pretty much. So ever since I was a little kid, everyone always told me that, you know, I was going to be a famous artist or a big artist. But I think the first thing that unlocked that creativity in my brain, the first thing I saw that got me into the style that I like is saw the Yellow Submarine, that Beatles movie, the animated one. I don't know, you know which one I'm talking about. You've seen it?
Yeah, yeah. When did you first see that?
I was probably 5 years old or something. It was just random VHS that was in my parents' house, and that movie was really weird and dark, and it's not just happy. So I always kind of had dark undertones with my art, but also, you know, positive and light, highlighting dark and light vibes. And that movie had kind of the best of both worlds. It really scared me, but it really intrigued me at the same time. So that's how my first acid trip in my brain started.
Love it.
Yeah. And then I got really into Dali, when I was 6 years old. He was my favorite artist, off the bat. And then from there, it just kind of went crazy. And then obviously skateboarding culture, all the skateboarding art, I just grew up skateboarding and all the skateboard decks and street culture and living life, just running away from police after skating and just that whole lifestyle and all the art that came with it, the style of the skateboarding, that street urban art, but also my love for art history and neoclassical masters. Just kind of I've always wanted to blend both street culture and the fine art into one thing.
Yeah, that's so cool. And funny enough, yeah, I actually also had a very early exposure to Dali and was really inspired by his whole style and the surrealism and all that. And it's cool to hear that skateboarding culture was a big influence for you. So I know your family's traditionally originally from Argentina, right? But did you grow up always in South Florida, in Miami? Or did you were you actually born in Argentina and then came? I was curious a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, I'm Argentine, half Argentine and half Spanish. So both my parents migrated here, and I'm the first person out of my whole family tree to be born in the United States. So I was born in Miami, but that's not even America. Miami.
No, yeah. I grew up down there too, man. That's a whole different country, pretty much, you know.
Yeah. It's a great country. Miami's a great country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of been the best of both worlds. Miami's North America and South America just combined into one place, and that's how I kind of feel. And I just been growing up with the city because the city's young. So the city is almost like as old as me, just kind of like where like really started, you know, getting like art. My art career has literally grown with the art career of Miami. So I've been like really actually like that perfect time, perfect place for like my art career and like art seed to grow.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And so, I mean, your art, I mean, I'm a huge fan of your artwork. I mean, it's incredibly captivating. It has like the most intricate like line work. And I really love like how you do see like seamlessly like fused together like the street, you know, skateboarding kind of cultural influences together with that like classical fine art. And you talked a little bit about like some of those, you know, early inspirations and things like that. But maybe you could you walk us through a little bit more of like that journey of how you started to like develop your very distinctive style and, you know, any of the, you know, key influences you feel like along the way have really like shaped how you're creating now?
Yeah. There's this, like, sometimes I forget and like little pieces come to me as I start to really like remember things that I've seen. But yeah, so I guess I got to like Dali and stuff. Like when I started getting a little older, like I would be watching MTV and I was, when I first saw that like Gorillaz video, music video.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. The ones like, I ain't happy.
Feelings. Yeah, exactly. But yep. I forgot the song.
I forgot the song too. I'm like, I'm trying to remember. I remember the song, but I can't remember the title. But I know exactly which one you're talking about. And that video is so dope.
Yeah, so like that was kind of like the next phase. And I would just stay like glued to TV, hoping to catch that music video again. And then I would like got down to music and like obviously like, the album covers. And I saw like that Gorillaz album art. And I was like, oh my God, it's the one from the music video. So like I got that. And then I started getting to like, you know, super into like Gorillaz art. And then I got super into like the Linkin Park art. So, and then obviously I've been playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, got super into like all the music in there and like, got into like all the art and that. I like video games also have a huge influence on what I do. So I've always been like in love with you know, video games. So I love like, you know, Nintendo 64 graphics. I like the old school graphics though.
OG ones, yeah.
Yeah, but not too old school. I like PlayStation 1 graphics and Nintendo 64 graphics. But, like that era of video games, like it just does something to me. So like mix that in with like all the music influences of skateboarding. And then I was like, then I went to like, Dash, which is like this public art high school that you have to get accepted to get in. And then like, I sucked at doing all the still life stuff and like working with the materials that they wanted me to use. I was like, oh wait, I just realized like, I could just do my own style. And so then like for the assignments, I wouldn't even do the assignments, but I would like just do my own art and like present it. And they would love it. Like I would still get graded like as if I did the assignment, but I was like, I did my own thing, but it was just as good as the assignment. So they're like, all right, like we can't really give this an F. So like, oh, should I just use my pen style? And then I started looking at like different ways to cross hatch. I started looking at like, got really into like Pete Annesi and like Albrecht Durer and how like, they do their cross hatching. And then like what really made me get super into like that cross hatching style was I started looking at money and how like money is rendered. Which are like George Washington. It's like if you look at the money history, it's really, really weird. You start to really like look at the what's on our money, like United States dollar, and it's like, wait, this is on our money. Like, what are these weird? Like, it's so weird when you really start looking at like dollar bill, like all like the weird shit that's on there, and it's like, it's actually a lot weirder than like when you really like step back from it. So I was like, started really looking at that, and then like. Looking at how like it was rendered, and I was like, I want to apply that to my art. So that's kind of how that line style started.
That's so cool. I do, and it's funny because now that you like pointed it out, I could definitely see that connection. Like it just reminded me. I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember like noticing like the lines and some of like the weird stuff on the money, you know, as well. So now that like you brought it up, I'm like, yeah, I could see that connection with some of your artwork as well.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the dude who designed the Alien movies, Geiger, H.G. Geiger, or H, I think it's H.R. Geiger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone called me a homeless Geiger. Like, this, my style reminded me of a homeless Geiger, which is funny, which is actually, like, I kind of like that. Yeah, there's this, sometimes off the top of my head to, like, really say my references of what inspired me, but sometimes it like things, certain things will remind me like, oh yeah, that's where I got that from. That's where I got that from.
Yeah, for sure. I see a lot of like those symbols that you include, like you were saying how when you look at money, you see like the all-seeing eye and you see like different elements and stuff like that. So I've always like appreciated, especially with like the fine art MFers, like doing the zoom-ins and looking for all of those like distinctive things that you've included inside of the artwork. As a follow-up to Giancarlo's question, I was curious, how much of your process is conceptual versus intuitive?
It's just like conceptual. It really depends. Like if I'm doing something for like a client or a job, it's more like conceptual. But if I'm like right now, I'm drawing, like I'm going to the Beeple event. I'm in Charleston right now, actually. I touched down yesterday. So I was able to like get some piece in for the Beeple event. But right now I'm doing like little custom stickers. Like that is more like intuitive when I'm at like the dinner table, like with friends and we're just like drawing or like messing around. Or like when I'm in class drawing on my notes, that's like, that's usually like the best art, I think. Like the one when you're in class, like drawing on the notes and stuff. Oh, I also like another inspiration that came to me is like, I'm like religious art. Like I love religious art. Like I grew up with like every single religion in my household. Yeah. And then that goes, that ties back into the dollar. Cause you look at start looking at the dollar, it's like super occult imagery, like, but in our money, and there's like a weird Latin, like, why is this on our dollar? And it's like, you know, sometimes a lot of the times I look at like holy spaces and I want, when I make a mural somewhere, like I have the intention of making it like almost like a chapel or like a mosque or like a holy, I want to make holy, like I don't want to make clothes, like I want to make holy garments. Like I want to have that, like bring back the fear of God into the stuff I do in a way.
Yeah, for sure. I noticed that in one of the recent posts that you made where it was like the Garden of Eden tree is, well, at least that's what I thought it was. So I definitely have picked up on that. And to pivot a little bit, you've done several community projects, both in and outside the USA. I was wondering if you could share with us a memorable moment from one of those experiences.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy because, you know, travel to like, I usually when I'm scared of something, like I go like full force. It's like the first place I went to was like Brazil. So I reached out to this hotel like in Brazil, which is like at the top of this favela. And like, you know, these favelas are run by like drug traffickers and stuff. And like the first day I was there, like I had like a gun pulled on me because I was filming. And like the guy's like, I was just skating down this hill with my phone out, and then this dude stopped me, and he's like, weighs me down with a gun. He puts a gun in my head. He's like, delete every single video you just took. Like, he didn't even want to steal my phone. Like, he's just like, delete every video you took. And then, you know, and I was like shaking, whatever. I deleted the video, and like, he's like, tell me something. I don't speak Portuguese, but he's like, tell me to do something else. I was like so confused. And I turned my phone off, and he got even more mad, and he's like, I guess I'm going to ask you to do whatever. And then like the old lady behind him was like, I just let him go. Whatever. The drug traffickers are pretty much like the police of the favela. Like they, like if something messed up happens there, like they're the ones that they enforce it. But like then the next day I'm like behind him in line at the supermarket. And then like while I'm painting, like once they like see that you're there for like the community and like you're painting and they're adding like that, I had like dudes with AK-47s just like going by me like, oh, what's up? Grafitano, whatever. Which is also like, art is just like the ultimate tool to like universal language you can use to like communicate with anybody. So I can go to like the hardest, craziest, insane places and I'm safe because like if I'm contributing and like they like the art, like, you know, I'm good anywhere. So I use that to like my full advantage. And then I started working with like another jail, like one, like an art therapist in the jail, like built this whole gallery, like in one of these South Florida jails with a bunch of like juvenile people. And like, he was just going to give me a tour to see, like, well, how I was feeling it. But, like, as we got inside the jail, and it was just, like, 50 juveniles just looking at me. And he's like, so you're ready to wet some walls up? Like, right there. Like, no prep, nothing. Like, I wasn't even prepared. Like, didn't even know I was going to paint. I just happened to have a bunch of paint in my car. I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly what you just posted right there. Like, and then we just end up vibing with, like, all the doobies and like talking to them. And, you know, then I spent like probably like a whole month in jail, like voluntarily, like out of pocket, like paying for all the pain, just like working with like a lot of the inmates. And then also, you know, not just working inside the jail, but like also working like underprivileged neighborhoods with like foster homes, all with this organization called Youth Concept Gallery. So yeah, like a lot of the stuff I've been doing, like a lot of the mints that I get, like help me, like I've paid like thousands of dollars out of my own pocket to do these activations and stuff. So like all of my projects also go into this, like a big percentage of them go into like not just donating money, but donating my time. Cause you know, everybody wants to bridge the gap between Web 2 and Web 3, but no one wants to bridge the gap between like you and like 20 minutes away from your house, you know, right across the tracks. So definitely like looking to do that more and more. Like I've donated countless hours and time and money into these projects. So, you know, if I have a gift, I'm going to share it. Oh yeah. And there was one time where like then we had like Thanksgiving in the jail, and then they had like this one of his rappers come in. His name, he's a kind of like mid-sized rapper, his name, but like so like all, a lot of the juvies are like rapping for him and stuff. And like then there was like some the juveniles that like misbehaved, they didn't have the chance to meet him, because like he even told him like you have to be on your best behavior, you're not gonna be able to like have Thanksgiving with us and meet this guy. And like they could hear us having fun, there's like almost like a riot broke out like in one of the jails. There's tons of crazy stories. Like, but yeah, I use my art to take me into these places that I otherwise wouldn't have been able to, you know, experience.
No, that's incredible. And it just speaks volumes about your heart and your character. So thanks so much for sharing that. I'm absolutely like just mind blown by the pieces that I found just search like jail on your profile, and coming across this is just like, you said, the scale of it is so grandiose and beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's crazy how fast you found it. But yeah, and it's also like the art therapist that I work with, he like teaches them how to resell shoes. And so they can like, you know, they can have a job when they get out while having a record. So it's like the NFT stuff. And like, we want to do more. We want to implement more like Web3, not like education, because it, Web3 is like, you know, you just jump in and like, you know, if you have like value and something to contribute, like you can make it like no matter what circumstance. Like I've seen so many people have like second, third, fifth chances just like in this space. So, you know, it's definitely a great way to work together. Like, and obviously we're going to talk to some brands and bigger like foundations, see how we can get some more donations for that and stuff. But yeah, that's a bunch of other stuff in the works.
Man, that's so freaking cool. And I, you know, I really commend you. And I think it's so awesome that like, not only do you, you know, you spend your money, but time, right? To like really like do things for a lot of these youth that probably have, you know, they just feel like, I don't know, like abandoned, lost, you know, and being able to like help them. And I love what I looked at your profile that you talked about, like, you know, doing this like art therapy and all that stuff, you know? So I think that's freaking awesome. And funny enough, like I actually had an uncle that actually ended up going to prison for a while, and he's actually a painter, and he started doing a lot of painting while he was doing time as well. And that's where he like continued to like develop his craft and everything. And then when he got out, that's literally what he was doing like afterwards, was actually like painting and selling artwork, you know? So that's cool that you guys are also giving them like a path, right? Or a way to kind of get back on their feet after they get out. And I know you were mentioning, so like Web3, that's actually kind of where I wanted to go next. And I do see Wild West has a hand up as well. We'll go to like hands and speakers a little bit later after we go through some of our questions. So thanks for, you know, coming up, and we will come back to you as well. But what I wanted to find out from you also, Marlon, was like, how did you end up actually even discovering like the Web3 space to begin with, and actually decide to like get, you know, come on here, right? And start like minting your own stuff.
Yeah, so I've been like in crypto. I bought like my first ETH in 2017 for like $500. And then, you know, I was like holding on to that. I was like, oh, I'm never going to spend my ETH. Like, this is like, I'm just going to hoard it and not do anything with it. And then like the NFT started happening. Like, my friend had mentioned it to me. And I just still like didn't really get it. And then I like minted one on Rarible and like it sold to someone like off my Instagram followers. And then I was kind of like, oh my God. And then like the Beeple sale happened and everyone like got into it. And then I like hadn't gotten sales in like, a couple weeks. I was like, ah, whatever. Like, And then like my homie Hawks, who's like another huge artist in Miami, he was just like, yo, we're going to do this road trip where we hit like we're going to go cross country and do like a bunch of mural festivals. So like he got this new truck and we just jumped in. And then we picked up our other homie, Lorenzo Mazna, who did the huge like viral Brooklyn wall with all the NFT PFPs. I don't know if you've seen that, but he started doing that. He started painting CryptoPunks on that road trip with us. He just like went cross country, went like from Miami all the way to Washington State and like everything in between, and from Washington State back to Washington, D.C., just like and everything in between, hit a bunch of places. And then Lorenzo had really gotten like deep into the NFT space. And he's the one to really explain how OpenSea works to me. Because before I didn't really understand, I was like, I didn't know what I was looking at when I saw OpenSea. And then he's the one to explain like the activities folder. Like he's like what a collection is. Like he's all the activity, like all the highest sales, like the rarity. I was like, whoa. And then my mind was blown. And that became like my favorite TV show to watch pretty much. Like go on random, like click on random NFTs, like click on activity. Like that, and that's when like Bored Apes were first popping off. But like I was looking at some like random derivative Bored Ape, and I was like, I was so confused. Like, is this a real Bored Ape? Is this like a derivative? Like, is this the actual collection? That like, so it took me like months and months to understand what is what. But then after that, I was like completely hooked. So that's when I started on that road trip. I started like my knifey collection, which is like the little knife in my PFP, little happy knife, which is like, you know, you gotta stay sharp, gotta stay on point, gotta stay in the cut. We're gonna chop it up. There's like a lot of like meme ability to the knife. You know, it's a little smiling knife. Like, watch out for those backstabbers. Smile on your face, stab you in the back. There's like a lot of meaning to it. But that was like 222 hand drawn, like one of ones. So that was my first collection. I was like dropping like five every week, just like drawing these little knives, like cross country on this road trip, and me and like Lorenzo in the back, kind of just like clicking away and like on the computer, just like diving super deep into the space. And so that was like the first real collection was the knifeys. And then, you know, I started to get into like CT and the CT culture and like what was going on in the space. And I was like, you know, all the spaces that was going on. And then that kind of led me into the MFers. And I just saw how like no one's done more for me in the space than Sartoshi. Like, he just embraced the art. Like, he loved what I did from like day one. I got like an MFer, and like the fact that they were like public domain, that you could do anything with it. And I saw like all these artists doing, because before, like when you like in the art game, it's like when you use someone else's art, it was like super frowned upon, like looked down, like, oh, like you're copying that art, like derivative was bad. But I saw like so many artists I respected like doing these derivatives, and like everything, it was all embraced. And like I've always wanted, like, you know, artists were super just like closed off with their art, like, you know, you got copyright everything, don't let anybody use your stuff. But I've always been like, I've always wanted to see what would happen if like I let other artists just take my art and see where it would go. So that's what MFers kind of stood out to me. And then I had this like idea of making it using MFers as like the blank canvas, because MFers are so, it's just like, are you winning son meme. It's like, you know, just growing up, and it's like you're trying to get your parents' validation, and like you want to win, want to make your parents proud. And it's like that whole are you winning son meme just like really spoke to me. And stick figures of just are just on like cave paintings, and I love like, and like how I love this like you know, opposites, like contrast. So I wanted to do the contrast of a super simple stick figure mixed in like with my super crazy detail. I thought it was just like the perfect like template for it. And then that I made like my first generative collection, and that just made my community like triple, quadruple. And now I have like so much more people to share my art with. And it's just been an insane ride. So that's where we're at so far.
Yeah. And in your fine art MFers collection, the attention to detail is remarkable, not just in the artwork itself, but also in the interactive storytelling of the art apocalypse. For those that aren't familiar with the collection and what Artpocalypse is, I was hoping you could explain that to them, because it's such a cool, cool concept.
Yeah. So, you know, when you like start something, like the future is crazy. Like even when I first started fine art and efforts, like AI art wasn't even like a thing. Like it was just DALL-E was just generating the most basic random like garbage images. And you know, as like the technology improves, like so does your ideas and your art. Like, but by the, like in a year's time, I might be able to just like put all my fine art and efforts into like a program and they'll make a whole video game for me, you know? So as like these technologies improve and I can do like art faster, like I get more and more ideas. So the art apocalypse was basically like, it's like the end of the world happens, like nuclear war breaks out and, you know, everything goes to zero. But like all the elites and like wealthy people that like hold all the art, the supply of like food and water, they still want like fine art to decorate their bunkers with. So like fine art still holds its value like through the apocalypse. So they're like, all right, we're willing to trade food and water, but you have to bring us like Leonardo da Vinci's, like, you know, like Michelangelo pieces. Like we want like these DALL-E crazy fine arts, and we also want fine art MFers. So
I freaking love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So like the fine art MFers, they hold like their fine art prominence through the art apocalypse, and these elites, they want it. So basically, the apocalypse is like this bean that your fine art MFer pops, and it gets equipped with like the tools necessary to fight back and take back the water and the food that belongs to us. So when you pop the bean, when your fine art MFer pops the bean, I've developed this whole program with my developers where you submit it, and then like I can see like the one that you submit, and then I take that fine art MFer and I hand tailor and I customize it. Like, you know, it's a mixture of like AI programs. So I'm like AI programming like every single trait. So like I'll have one template and then I'll like, all right, I want to make these headphones that. So I'll like put it in through AI, make Photoshop that AI trait headphone onto like the piece that I made. Then, you know, it's like a mixture of, it's like man merging with the machine. So I'm collaborating with AI to create each art apocalypse. And it's based off whichever fine art MFer you submit. So it's like it's a separate one-of-one collection on whichever fine art MFer you want to submit. And it just like, and it's reveals as soon as I finish it. So like my developers, like they set up a whole log for me to like input each trait that I want, like which fine art MFer each art apocalypse corresponds to. And then like once I reveal it, it shows up on OpenSea, like every single trait. So everything's like personalized. You can even like put in what like suggestions that you want, so I can like make it whatever style you want. So, you know, there's like right now, so far, like 700 something people have submitted to it. So I'm doing each one. I'm like on 160 right now. So, it's, you know, it takes a while, but it's like literally a one of one for every fine art MFer you submit. So that's kind of like the innovation. And that's not even an idea I had when I first started fine art MFers. It came to me as like, AI started developing and I saw AI art being embraced more. I'm like, oh, like I'm gonna take a stab at it too. So yeah, it's been really fun to do those and just like develop the lore. Exactly how I said, like maybe AI gets so sophisticated, I'll be able to put in all the art apocalypses and like make a whole video game in like a year's time. So that's something like each one of my collections is something I take with me, like no matter what, and I include in everything I do, like even in the big brand collaborations I have, like when I was in Grand, like the collaboration I did for Grand with Grand Seiko, like in the convention center, like the biggest art fair in like the world, pretty much. Like I threw in an MF or like in the mural. So it's gonna be subliminally like injected into everything I do. Like every single collection just rides with me. Like there's, I can't go to sleep at night without like thinking that like I abandoned my art, the like community that I spend so hard to make. So, you know, it's going to ride with everything I do.
Yeah, that's admirable. And maybe as a follow up, as I read the story of the apocalypse, I smiled and like deeply resonated with the message you were relaying through your fantasy lore. And a question kind of popped up to my head, and it was, how does everyday life and the realities of social issues influence your art?
Yeah, it's like a lot of it plays in. But the thing is, it's like, what is even like us? We don't even know what the real social issue is. Like, we have no idea what's really going on. Like, this veil that's been put on over our heads, which is like, pretty much run by like a little small group of people. Like even like this, like this, the fact that there's like, we've been tapped to there's two sides is completely like, even that is just like a huge veil. Like there isn't two sides. It's one conglomerate of people that, you know, there's no Donald Trump, Joe Biden. It's just one thing, one organism that's like on the same side that's like used against us. And that's pretty much like the apocalypse is like a little like my side of the story kind of that I came up with, like based on that. Yeah, so it is rooted in reality in a way. There is like, you know, there's like a lot of distractions that are set up to just keep us docile. Like a lot of these celebrities and a lot of the celebrity drama, this rap beef, Kendrick, Drake, it's like all such, it's just like a huge distraction to like keep us like neutered pretty much. And like talking about that instead of like really like, even just like the conflicts in the world that are happening, like we're on this side, we're on that side. Then it's just literally divide and conquer. So we don't point the finger at like who's really doing it.
Brilliant. And that's why you are a legend, because I was reading it and it came through. That message was clear to me. And I was like, ah, yes, there's so many layers to this. So kudos to you, fam. Beautiful.
Yeah, man. Kudos. It's funny. Interestingly enough, on all these themes, I just got done watching Fallout on the like this new show on Prime. I'm a huge fan of the video game, but like the show is so good, like so well done. It's like 8 episodes, but it's like, you know, kind of the lore is like, you know, post-apocalyptic kind of thing. And also it ties a lot in with that kind of idea of like, you know, the control by, you know, just a small select group, you know, that's really kind of, you know, running the show behind the scenes. And I don't want to give it away in case anybody hasn't seen it, but it's, oh man, it's so good. Like, so if anybody hasn't checked it out, Fallout, really, really good show.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, because they literally like don't care what happens to any of us, because whatever, like they have all the crazy bunkers set up, they have everything, like they have the escape pod ready. So it's like, mm-hmm. Their decisions have no consequences on themselves, but that's what they think. They think that they're literally can just eventually, like, you know, we'll get to them. Like they think they're all shacked up in the bunker. Like people will eventually. Mm-hmm. And then the people who like do their bidding, like they think that they're on their side, but the people who are really like controlling it, like they will get, like the people doing the bidding will get eaten too by like the shit that they're pushing. Yeah, I don't know. I could get in deep with it.
That's all good. Yeah.
But like what gave me the idea, like the main spark that gave me the apocalypse idea was when I was watching I Am Legend. There's like this one scene where when Will Smith is in his apartment and like you just see like he just looted the Met Museum and he just like has like the craziest Met art like just in his apartment, like he's like Jackson Pollock's like Keith Haring's, he has like,
yep,
like crazy Da Vinci's and shit. So I was like, oh, that's funny. Like, yeah, people would just go loot the museums like first thing when the shit hits the fan. It's funny.
That is funny. So I did want to pivot to a different kind of topic. And, you know, one thing that I think that I, just kind of going through a lot of your content and stuff you shared as well, like one thing I really love and admired about you as well is this kind of like get after it type attitude. And I was going to pin up a post of yours from back in 2018, December 2018, where you said like the biggest art fair at Basel won't show your work, just pull up and start drawing, and that you had this like whole crowd there with you, you know, like, you know, just amazed, right, as you creating this artwork and you were like, fuck them galleries, you know. So I thought that was just freaking genius, and in a way also like fantastic advice for creatives, right, like to not wait for permission or acceptance to, you know, get admitted into a gallery or this or that. I think that's also a little bit in line with like the ethos of Web3, of like where you can just, you know, put your work out there and like get after it. So I really love that a lot. And I was also curious, you know, what other advice you might, you know, want to give to, you know, other creatives. You have a lot of artists and people in the space that maybe are interested in trying to look for ways to, you know, make a career out of their artwork, you know, and I just wanted to know, like you've been you've been doing it, you've been crushing it, you know, and partnering with brands and doing all this stuff and even giving back a lot of what, you know, your time and art to help causes and things like that. Any advice you'd give maybe to other creatives that, you know, want to pursue and make a living off of their art?
Yeah, like that saying, the pen really is mightier than the sword. Like these huge art fairs and stuff, like they're public and you have a pen and you can draw. So, and you're trying to get your art in, like, why do you need to have a gallery set your art up? Like that's what I did in that video that Giancarlo just pinned up. That was, and like that video ended up going viral and it like ended up being like on this Reddit thread where it was like people ending up in places they're not supposed to be, but it working out. It was like one of these type of threads. And yeah, like I ended up like painting in the middle of Art Basel for like 15 minutes, just drawing on this thing to like, you know, we got kicked out, but whatever, like that's the worst that's going to happen. They're just going to be like, stop doing that. But you're going to have a good amount of time. And like one person that inspired me to do that was like Banksy. So I've read a bunch of these Banksy books, and Banksy would just, he not only would he like manipulate like the art, but he'd manipulate crowds and he'd really manipulate like groupthink. And he was like, there's this whole chapter in the book where he was like, he put his own art in these huge museums and he'd document how long each piece would stay up for. So one piece would stay for one day, some pieces would stay for 6 months, some pieces would stay for like 5 days. So after seeing that chapter, that's what kind of inspired me to do this, just Banksy it up. And then like, there's like this other artist, his name is Risk. He's like this big artist in LA. Like there's this big Banksy exhibition, and Banksy, like, I guess someone, I don't know if it was Banksy, but Banksy had this like setup where like someone pulled up in a limo. And what Risk did is he just spray painted the whole limo. He like just took out a can and just like tagged up the whole limo, and like that blew him up, like just doing that. I think like Banksy's team bought the limo for some crazy amount of money. So you just gotta strip down the walls of like the matrix and just be like, oh, none of this shit's real. Like you can just inject your art. And that's creativity isn't just with painting. Creativity is like, how do I push my art in like in a way that like gathers attention? And so there's that whole thing. So there's lots of ways around it. But yeah, I mean, also just giving, if you just give back, you're going to get a lot back. So like, yeah, just donate art. If you want to become a muralist, just go ask around, just start doing murals for free. And if you don't live in a town that doesn't have art, like start the art scene. It's actually even better if you live like in this rural town and you can paint and you can do murals, like start just, y'all, paint your stuff for free, paint the whole town, like make the whole town one color or something, like something that'll go viral for that town and viral for yourself. Yeah, start off. Yes. Best advice really is get back first, you know, do things for free. If it's just like starting out. That's how I kind of worked my way up. To treat your like social medias like it's your gallery, like these huge people that you want to work with, like they're looking, like it's insane, like the DMs I've gotten. I'm like, I can't believe like I've been watching my stuff the whole time. And I've also lost a lot of art jobs and a lot of opportunities because like I posted the wrong thing. So you have to be really smart and calculated, but like, you know, be professional, like make sure if you're gonna have like your art page, like keep it clean, keep it like easy, pretend like you got like a corporation looking at it, if that's who you want to work with. And then like if you want to, you know, shit post, make another post for that. Keep your shit posting and your career stuff separate.
Man, I love that. So much like good advice there, man. I took down like a bunch of notes, and it also made me think of something else that I saw looking through like your profile too, that like you also had about kind of like shooting your shot, giving things away for, you know, for free, and you know, the whole leveraging social media, right? That you had also created like a cover art for Young Thug, and like, you know, just shared it, and it kind of like blew up, and he even like took notice of it as well. I think he didn't end up using it, but like still, you know, it kind of helped you get like the word out there and more people to know who you are as well. So I think that's, man, such good advice.
Yeah, well, that's funny too, because I got that idea from like a Gary Vee post where he's like,
oh no way.
Yeah, if you like, if you want to work with like an artist, just like, just make the album cover for them and then post it. And then like I ended up doing that, And then Young Thug like reposted it. And he's like, awesome. This is how my first 500 followers on Twitter, like, because Young Thug reposted it. And then he was going to have a concert. He came to Miami. He's going to have a concert. So I made like bootleg merch with that design that you just pinned. And then I just like set up a table at the concert. Like, but I knew the person that was throwing it. But even if I didn't know, like, I still would have just got, if you get there early enough, you set up a table and then be like, then. And I just like set up like the merch and people were like, is this the official Young Thug merch? I was like, yeah. And I just like sold out instantly and like ended up like going backstage and like.
No way.
Yeah, Young Thug still follows me on Twitter.
That's so freaking awesome.
That guy. But also all that, like all the rap shit is like, you know, we have to completely change the rap game. Like we need to, like the beats are fine and like, but you could just switch the lyrics. You should just get like, you should just. People should just be rapping about fun facts and stuff, but that's for a whole other story. Like,
a whole other space, probably, yeah.
Rap about, like, history facts or, like, science facts or something. I don't know. Just, like, that's a whole other psyop and shit. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I'm here for the Beeple event. I didn't even get invited to the Beeple event. Like, I had to do so many weird maneuvers to end up, and I ended up being on the flyer. But so I submitted my piece to get on the Beeple event and I didn't get any email back. I didn't get accepted, nothing. And then I posted the piece. I'm like, yo, I spent 60 hours on this. I didn't even get accepted. And then Beeple commented on the Twitter post saying, sorry, like, my bad, sir, got you. And then I got the email right after he commented that. So, and then I ended up getting like on the flyer and all this stuff. So even that, like, nothing's been handed to me. Like, I've had to really, like, you have to just, el que no llora no mama, which is like, yeah. So I was pretty much raised on that. So everything I've gotten is from crying and being like, not literally crying, but literally like, you know, like, what the fuck, man? Like, get me in. They're like, all right, my bad. Yeah. We got you. Like. Like I've never been accepted into Super Rare, but when I see the Super Rare people, like what the fuck, like y'all didn't accept my email, like come on, like yeah, that's kind of how I approach it, like so then you know, so now I'm like in Charleston because I like made that Twitter post because I didn't get accepted, and then he commented and like that was a really good look for people too. Everyone was like, oh, people W, so then I'm gonna like take that. And I'm going to make an edition of the art piece I'm going to show there. And that's how I'm going to start. I'm going to drop my first edition on base with the piece that's going to be showing at Beeple. And then, like, hopefully I'm going to send Beeple an edition and, you know, meet him. So everything I do is like a calculated rollout. And when I do drop something, it's like a huge event for me. Like, I'm making posts, I'm making infomercials. Like, I don't just post and forget. Like, exactly with the Fine Art Methods. I've been like bull posting the Fine Art Methods like 2 years straight, like never back down, like still like spray painting lifeies like everywhere I go, you know, getting up with it. So yeah,
that's freaking awesome, man. So yeah, that story's crazy too. Like, I know that like people saw it and was like, yo, I got you, man. So that just goes to show, like, sometimes, you know, it's like you just got to keep getting at it, right? And like keep, you know, replying, DMing, following up, you know, because sometimes, like, yeah, it may just have been like somebody else was in charge of looking at stuff and they overlooked it. And, you know, but it's like, if you're not yourself, like your own advocate, like who else is going to do it for you, right? Like going out there and really making sure people see your stuff, man. So I love that. So, you know, you have like tons of amazing artwork you've created over the years, like over the course of your artistic career. I was curious if there's any particular piece that you've made that really holds like a special significance or meaning for you, and if so, like which one is it, and can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, I think like the one that like my favorite I guess work that I've done is that piece I did with Grand Seiko, because like 2 years, like what we talked about earlier, like just 2 years before that, like I had to sneak into Art Basel and like illegally start drawing to get like to be inside the art fair. And then like fast forward 2 years later, like Grand Seiko follows up with me and is like, we want to pay you to do exactly that. Just paint our booth in like the biggest art fair. So like from that's almost like manifestation through creation, which I believe is like the way, not just manifesting, like I hoping, just like create what you want to manifest. And if it's like whoever you want to work with, like whatever brand you want to work with, like just like paint their packaging and like post it and tag them. And like, growing up in Miami, every single person like asked me, like, when are you going to be in Art Basel? When are you going to be in the convention center? When are you going to be in like Design Miami? Like, we're always going, we never see your art, blah, 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 to like, you know, me having to like kick the door down and like do it on my own and then get kicked out to like 2 years later getting hired to actually do that. Like, that was really like a big moment for me. So that's like that one. Definitely like Grand Seiko Design Miami job. And it's also, they let me do whatever I wanted. So it was like, so it was my work. It wasn't like a super like branded thing. So yeah, like how DJ Khaled had, like, you got to rip the door hinges off and put them in the fuck boys' hands.
I love it, man. No, this piece you did for them there was awesome, man. I remember watching a video of you making it too. And it's just incredible. I love it.
Yeah, man. Shouts out to y'all. Some great questions too. I'm really getting deep.
Oh, yeah. We have been so excited about this. And I'm a knifey holder. I'm a fine art muffer holder. And I just, real quick side note, like, Marlon's attention to detail doesn't just extend to like the way that he strategizes things, the way that he creates things. It's also how he takes care of his collectors. Like, homie sent me a t-shirt out of the blue because he knew that I had been a collector, and like, the t-shirt is art. Like, I was so happy when I received that. So there's those little things. There's a lot of thought and intentionality behind what he does. So yeah, wanted to share that. And during Miami Art Week, when we were just there, in December, I didn't get a chance to see you, but I saw that your street art knifey character, first of all, I saw him in the wild, which I think I told you about. I was super excited. I was like, oh shit, there's knifey. But also I saw that you had gotten up on that building that got completely graffiti bombed by some of Miami's like biggest street artists. I was hoping you could share what that experience was like, and the whole significance of that street art moment taking over the headlines during Art Basel.
Yeah, so that was like pretty much like the Basel after party. And it was like the biggest like art apocalypse simulation. Like, if, you know, everything goes to shit, like the graffiti artists take over. Like, that was like, it literally felt like, yeah, Fallout the show. But yeah, like, I saw it, and it was like, at first it seemed like it was super heated. Like, oh man, it's so like, probably so many cops. And then we get there and it's just like open, like you just get in, like the cops, it had already been like 4 days and like the police still hadn't even really like caught on to it. But you go in and it's just like, yeah, you, this huge abandoned building, just like, you know, little bonfires happening. It was just like straight up a little art apocalypse simulation. It's crazy. What's crazy is like the people rappelling off the side of the building, like making like homemade rappels and like literally just like throwing themselves off a building and being there all night, because they're doing like 50-foot pieces. So they're all night on a rappel, that like a homemade rappel that they got off like Amazon, like straight painting. And like, what, one of the homies did like a piece there and he's like, oh, I rappel. And then like next day there was like five even bigger pieces there, like made them look like a toy and shit. So it's crazy. Like, so yeah, so there's like three sides of the building, and like, it's almost like made to be painted. It has like these little balconies and like these perfect little sections just to like throw up a tag, and like the sections are tiled. So it's almost like a built-in grid. So you can like, you know, exactly like the dimensions to put your piece and stuff. Yeah. I think I have some videos somewhere. I don't know how you like find them so quick.
No, I didn't find them. I'm really quick with it. I'm sharp like the knife. I found a picture. Like, I just quick went on to Google, but I've seen the one that has your character knifey on it. But yeah, just so people could get a sense of the scale of the building and like the guts that it took these graffiti artists to get up on that building to make that moment so special.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it was just like made, it was like, did someone like design this building for us to paint it almost? It was like these perfect little balconies so you can just like enough space for you to walk around, and just like these perfectly sized pieces. And like, they're really big. They don't seem that big from the picture, but like, you know, it took me like 2 or 3 hours up there to just do it. And it was just a vibe, and just running into like other graffiti artists in there. It was just like this different type of like camaraderie. It was really sick. And then obviously, like, people started catching on, like, whoa, we could just go into these skyscrapers and completely cover them. So then, like, the LA one popped off, another one in Miami popped off. And then people started doing, like, a lot. Like, I saw Amiri. Amiri did one with, like, the LA where they, like, AI'd every single graffiti tag to say Amiri on it. So it just, like, became this, like, huge little movement. But I'm really glad, like, to be part of that history and be up there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a question about just the challenges of doing mural work. What was the most challenging mural you have done to date? And how long did it take you to complete?
Yeah, there's all murals are really challenging. There's this one I did in Seattle, like in the alleyway in Seattle, and like that shit got scuddy. Like when you have to avoid, like not only do you have to, are you out there painting, but you have to avoid, like, you know, the characters that come by. And it was like on the side of a methadone clinic too. So like I had like these crazy people like spitting on me from the top. And like screaming at me, and like it was like a mental kind of housing with like methadone clinic, and I'm like literally painting the wall in between, and my alleyway is also just kind of like the bathroom of the streets, and like I had like people like come by me like grunting at me and shit, like and like one guy like with a knife kind of waving it around, but you know, and any homeless person that like came up to me and was like, yo, like, can I draw on the wall? I was like, yeah. Like, you know, draw on the wall. Like, I would just, like, let them draw, and, like, I would kind of incorporate my art around it. And, like, you know, you sometimes you got to pay the street tax, you know. Some, you got, like, I'll have, like, a pack of cigarettes on me. Like, I don't smoke cigarettes, but I'll just, like, hand them out. So, like, you know, start handing out cigarettes. You start letting people, like, draw on the wall, and then you kind of, like, all right, you good. Like, even, like, the crazy, like, sword-wielding homeless people, like, they – and also it's just, like, the seagulls there, like, they just always sound like they're laughing at you, and they're just like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And I had, like, people spitting on me from the top, and, like, I was just, like, avoiding this Frogger mural I was doing, and I was out there just by myself, so it was, like, enter the battle zone, like, every time I'd go to paint, and then, like, I see some pictures, like, the way that people graffitied over it is, like, it also incorporated with the art, so, like, the homeless people kind of like did like little signatures like within the art, like after I was done with it, like they drew like this weird like pentagram like on top of the rose, but it kind of looks cool, like both like with really light Sharpie, like they kind of, it's like the streets kind of overtook it, but that's how you know like you did a good wall, when it's not, doesn't completely get ragged, and it's like the community embraces it. So I kind of like that aspect of painting too. Like I love, like, my favorite places to paint are like super crazy, chaotic, insane places where people are like going crazy. That's why I do like love painting at like raves, and like I also just got hired to do like EDC, which is like the EDC but on a cruise ship. So it was like this whole rave cruise, and they put me in like the super hardcore techno room, and I was just like I literally like lost my mind in that room. Like I started busting holes inside the wall and like turning the holes into like places you could put your head into. Like I just love like chaos and like insane people. I get like my inspiration from people mostly. So yeah, there's that video. So yeah.
Wow. That's so freaking cool, man. I've been just like watching all these videos. I posted up the ones in Seattle, and then this one, it's just so dope.
Yeah, chaos breeds creation. It sounds like a movie, honestly, which you just walked us through.
So I love how you broke the hole in the wall, put your face through it. So dope.
I swear, it was like, it was like Little Texas. I don't know if you listen to Little Texas, but it's like the most, it's like 5 trillion BPMs. And it's literally like, and then like the strobe lights, it's literally like CIA grade torture and shit. So I was there for like 5 hours, and I like literally did lose my mind, but when you lose your mind, that's when you make the best type of art. So yeah, I was like, oh, like I'm just gonna start breaking holes in the wall and having fun with it.
So cool, man. So one other thing I wanted to just ask was, you know, if you wanted to tell us about, you know, any upcoming projects, goals, things you have for your art career. I know you did mention that piece, that the Beeple piece you were gonna do as your first edition drop on Base, but anything else you wanted to share with us that we can expect to see from you in the future?
Just riding the wave, see where I go. Yeah, right now I'm like in Charleston, gonna go to the Beeple event tomorrow. Then I had like artist residency with this big collector like in Ohio. And then one of the, it was also the magic of like the Web3 stuff is like also like just, you know, getting to know all the MFers. Like these MFers also have really big jobs, you know, up high. Like, you know, one of them is like a lead of this other charity in Chicago called Annixter. And he's just like commissioning me to go up there and like working with the charity and like doing a gala in Chicago. And this is my first time in Chicago. So doing that and like also, you know, just keep pushing on my NFT projects, doing the Arpocalypse, can tailoring each fine art MFU submit to that Arpocalypse. Just seeing where things take me, just like seeing where the space evolves. Like, I love like all the crazy coins that's been popping off and like all the weird drama that's been happening with the coins. And I'm also like, kind of like, you know, just, I just love it here. I don't know. Like, I just love being here early. Like, I keep telling my friends over and over, like, yo, I just make a Twitter, at least make the Twitter. And it's like, well, I'll make it tomorrow. It's like, then they never do. I'm like, great. Like, I'm just going to keep, whoever's here, like, we're going to just keep dominating until people eventually catch on. We just have so much knowledge and like such a strong base of what's already going on that, like, you know, people are going to take, it's going to take a while for everyone else to catch up. So, yeah, but also, you know, keeping the gap, like doing my real life murals and doing this crazy digital stuff and seeing when they all merges.
Love it, man. That's so awesome. Excited to see more of what you create for sure, man. And, One thing I did want to ask as well was, you know, what other things are you maybe passionate about outside of art?
Outside of art, everything's really art to me. I like to just
still skate a lot, for example.
Skate, ride my bike. I don't know. I like. Like, what do you mean? Just like secret talents?
No, just other things you enjoy doing, you know, other things maybe passionate about. But it was just, you know, other things you might be into. But I feel you, you know, I know art is a big part.
Right. Oh, yeah. If I didn't have art, I don't know what I would do. Like, yeah, I definitely probably like go into shit coining really hard or, there's so many ways to do it nowadays, you know. You just got to be creative in every other way.
Yeah, I think that's super cool. Because art is literally like linked to your existence. So you can't separate that. And I could so see that being the case for you. So toward the end of the space, we kind of do like lighthearted questions before we start bringing up friends to ask questions or say anything that they wanted to you. So I have a couple, empanadas or pizza.
Oh, I'm lactose intolerant, so empanadas, Argentinian ones specifically.
Yeah. Okay. What music do you listen to when you create?
It's like such a mix. I have like my different moods, but I listen to like a lot of, I like that Miami, like 70s, 80s. Like for some reason, like people, like English people made the best Miami music. For some reason. So like I was like a lot of Phil Collins and like Tears for Fears, stuff like that. Or like you know, obviously like just different like Motown stuff. I saw like that video with the dog with hat guy dancing that got me into that band Shed Theory. So I've been listening, and the like lead singer's name is Marlon Dubois. You know, the one where he's like, I just feel bad with the stones in the river. The guy, like the ketamine dance guy with the dog with hat. And I started listening to that band heavy after that video. I was like, oh, that actually sounds kind of hard.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Trying to like, obviously like a lot of favela funky music. It was like a crazy mix. Something just like 430 gigahertz God frequency, or just when I just been listening to too much toxic shit just to like cleanse the palate.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I listen to Hertz music, and my kid is into Brazilian funk. And what was the other thing that you mentioned? Tears for Fears. Like, they're a classic. You can't go wrong with that. Okay. And then my last lighthearted question is, this is going to be probably tough because I know you love both, bike or skateboard?
I've obviously been like a huge skater, but now I'm like, I still am. And I'm still like going to be a skater for life. Obviously, I like, it's a part of me. Like I embody it, the lifestyle. But like now it's just bike because I can get so much fast, like places so much quicker, so much faster, and cover so much ground. So I just been like full bike mode recently. Like I let my sister pretty much have my car. Now I've just been biking everywhere.
Wow. And Miami, that's not easy to do actually either. That's pretty cool. You're going around.
No, Miami is literally like the size of like Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Yeah. Like it's three main spots, two bridges. It's actually like the amazing to bike. You can get anywhere.
Dope. All right. Other lighthearted question. Mate or coffee?
I've just been trafficking these bricks of matcha pretty much. The Yakuza matcha bricks. Yeah, because I got like my colon removed. I got my whole colon taken out, like because I had ulcerative colitis. So there's so much stuff. Coffee messes me up, matcha messes me up, but matcha, like the matcha's been my thing. The green Coke.
Yeah, the green Coke. Love it. All right. And I had only caught that, I didn't know before the interview that you were both like from, you know, mix of Spain and Argentina. I'd just seen stuff like references to Argentina. But so my other question, lighthearted one, was, you know, greatest Argentinian soccer player of all time, Messi or Maradona?
I'm not super into soccer, but I would say Maradona because he's just like classic. He's almost like Dennis Rodman antics. So he had, but it's also like a different time. He's also like, I think, like a shitty person. Like Messi's probably a better person, but Maradona's a better character.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that for sure. And before I went to the last question, I was going to mention that, you know, if anybody else wanted to come up on stage, feel free to request. Now, unfortunately, I know we did lose a couple of people that had been up before, so apologies for that. But yeah, feel free to request up. Would love to have other folks join us up on stage too. And one that we usually ask most of our guests is if you had to rank, you know, or choose them, what would be your like top three favorite movies of all time?
I'm thinking.
Okay.
I really like 28 Days Later. It's probably like 28 Days Later, Dawn of the Dead is like one of my favorites. They're like spot for the top number one. I don't know. I've always liked zombie stuff. But maybe like 28 Days Later. There's also like, there's this crazy Argentinian movie called Relatos Salvajes, which is like in English, it's called Wild Tales, which is really insane.
Is that like a scary movie? I've never seen it actually. Yeah.
It's like five little short movies and it's about like cause and effect. It's like how your actions have consequences. And it's like five different stories about like, one, you do one thing and it has this crazy
kind of like a butterfly effect type thing.
Yeah, but it's like five different little short films.
Huh.
Argentinian cinema is insane. I definitely recommend watching Relatos Salvajes or like Wild Tales is like how they translated it. What else? I think. Yeah, so those are like my two those are the ones that come on. Dawn of the Dead, 20 Days Later, and Relatos Salvajes.
Nice. Good ones. I'll have to check out that Relatos Salvajes for sure. Now I'm intrigued. Whenever somebody mentions like a favorite movie that I've never heard of or seen, I'm like, oh, okay.
I was obviously like Akira, like the crazy anime Japanese movies, like all the like the Studio Ghibli movies. There's Akira's like Katsushiro Otomo, which is like the artist, the guy who made Akira. He has this other one called Memories. Which is like, there's one that has like, it's Memories. There's also like three part movie. One's called like Magnetic Rose, which is like with these astronauts. That's like all of Japanese animation. There's one called like The Dirty Bomb, where this guy, like he takes like, he walks, like everything kind of ties into my art. Like he pops this like pill and then turns him into like a dirty bomb, but he can't, he doesn't die. But every time he just goes through like these cities and he's just like expressing this toxic chemical everywhere he goes, but he can't like stop it. But, and like the whole like military is chasing after him, but he's not stopping for them. He's just like running away from the military. But they're like, he's also like a dirty bomb. It's really crazy. and all the Studio Ghibli movies, of course, and stuff like that. Spirited Away, the classics.
Oh, Spirited Away, so good.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, I see we have our dear friend Anna on the stage. Hey, Anna. Happy Friday. How you doing?
GMGM and TGIF. Oh my God. I mean, you know, people, I've been MIA, but today I had to be here first and foremost, not only to be here for you, Giancarlo and Jennifer. You already know how much I love you. But additionally, for the man of the hour, I'd like to say, Marlon, you've been a great inspiration. Being an ink artist myself, people like you have inspired me to get into the ink drawings many years ago. And I've been in this journey only 5 years, self-taught. And I'd like to give you huge kudos for doing what you do best and inspiring people like me to pursue the passion for ink drawings. And you're doing it so well. Hearing your story really inspiring me because, you know, that sheer notion, like not giving a duck about, just like going about what you do best, representing your style and the true core of it, right? And most importantly, like just showing up and being yourself and doing that thing on Art Basel, you know, representing that stuff. I mean, dude, that is so inspiring. So it was important for me to just to come up and give you flowers because you do deserve it and you are a big deal in the space. So I just wanted to quickly say hi and let you know that there are people like me, you know, smaller people like me, appreciate you from far, far away. Not far away. I'm in Florida now, but on the other side of the Florida, meaning on the top North Florida, that is. Anyways. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing the journey. It is extremely inspiring. So just want you to know, yes, please continue to do what you do because, yes, we are watching you and it is inspiring. Thank you, Marlon.
Thank you so much for those words. Yeah. I'm glad you like anyone can really become an artist. Like there's no such thing as good or bad art. Like, you know, if a blue canvas can sell for $40 million, like there's literally no rules. So use like any program, like anyone that tells you like anything's wrong is completely wrong. That's why like art school is bullshit, because like that's why art critics are bullshit. Jerry Saltz is bullshit because like, yeah, how can you even critique art? Like there's no such thing. There's no rules. Like there's nothing like any way. And it's like if someone likes you enough, like you can literally just like throw some trash at the wall and like, some people will like it. Like it's all about you and who you are. And like, if you just get it out there, like if you think you can draw, there's other people that can't draw even more than you, and they will appreciate how you can draw. So like, don't ever like doubt your stuff, or like, you know, don't ever let some art teacher say that still life is bad. Like, cause literally like no such thing as bad, especially in art. That's why art's awesome. Cause it's like the least rules that there is to any like medium. Like, even music, like unless you're really into like noise music, like it has to follow like a certain rhythm for it to be listenable to. Like art, there's literally, that doesn't exist. Like it could literally be anything. So it's all about what you make it into.
Thank you, Marlon, for that. Yes, that's exactly what I've been doing for the past 5 years. Self-taught, got into the art journey because I was seeking actually for that very happy place in my life when I can do something that would make me happy. And, you know, 5 years later, here I am talking about it because I am following my heart. I am following the journey where I'm at today. And no, I'm not a big critic listener, even though so many times I've been said that you should be adding color into my work. Well, guess what? I love black and white, and I'm going to stick to it. No matter what, I'm a rebel for life. Let's go.
Hell yeah, black and white goes with everything. So I do mostly black and white too. So, yeah, it works.
Dude, I follow you on Instagram, so I know. I saw you.
Love it. And actually, yeah, the one that you said that was like one of the more meaningful ones for you too was black and white and just spectacular. You know, we posted up as well from Art Basel. Black and white can be amazing. Yeah, so I love that. And I love what you said there, Marlon, as well, that, you know, anybody can be an artist. And you know, it's so true, right? I mean, art is very subjective. Who's to say your stuff is good or bad? You know, it's all just art, right? It's an expression of creativity, of your passion, you know, and yeah, anybody should, you know, and can be an artist as well, a creator. So love that. Thank you, Anna, for coming up as well. Always appreciate you, you know, joining our spaces, listening in, and always also enjoy when you're able to join us up on stage too. And yeah, one other thing you were talking about, you know, painting all sorts of stuff. I know, you know, you also have created like your own type of clothing. And there was one that thing that I bookmarked, which I thought was just so freaking dope, where you had this like this whole outfit that like lit up. I'm going to pin it up here because, you know, just so people, if they haven't seen it, that I thought was just so freaking dope. Where it was like, yeah, when the flash would come on, then it would like light up and you could see like the colors and everything. And I was curious, like, yeah, like, you know, like what got you kind of inspired to also start doing stuff on clothing as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's crazy when people just would go and they buy like an Adidas shirt that just has a huge like Adidas logo or like a Nike logo or like these Supreme, like you're paying other brands to advertise for them. So I was like, I'm never going to wear something I don't make or like something that my friends make like ever again. So I was like, and it's also, you know, it's a good conversation starter. Like it's a billboard for your art. Like I feel like all artists should wear what they make. And you know, when I do meet those like celebrities or whatever, like on the street and they like, I'm wearing my art. Like I can literally just be like, yo, check this out. Like I saw Diplo the other day and I was wearing like one of my custom shirts. He's like, you drew that? I was like, yeah. And then he's like, he took a picture of it and then followed me on Instagram, you know? And if I hadn't been wearing my shirt, then like, I wouldn't been able to have that like interaction with him. So stuff like that, like I just never know. You never know who you're going to meet. So just like always have your art handy, you know, always have like some stickers, always have like something to give out or just be wearing your own art. I definitely recommend that. Like even like I've gotten into crazy art Basel parties because I was wearing that reflective suit. And he's just like, I just waited in line and then he's like, it's just you. And he's like, all right, I like your suit, whatever. Get you, like you're in whatever. So it's gotten me into like a lot of cool places. It's even like when I was painting that suit in Art Basel, that was one of the reflective suits. So yeah, I'm still making it, you know, still making those suits and stuff. And it just hits different when you're like hugged by your art. It feels good.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And great advice too. And that's actually something I started doing myself too. Cause I noticed also other people doing it, but it's like, yeah, why, like you said, like, why are you, you know, putting on stuff to promote other random brands, you know, when, especially if you're creating art, even my friends are, you know, stuff like that. Like why not like wear that and rock that instead of like some, you know, Adidas or something else. Right. Yeah. So I think that's great. And to your point, you know, it's a great way to like advertise and market your artwork and could be a great conversation starter too. So no, that's awesome. I see we got David up on the stage. Hey, David, happy Friday. How you doing, brother?
Hey guys. I just wanted to come up and say hey and give some flowers to this legend in the space. He doesn't really know me, but I definitely know him. I just really enjoyed listening to his story and everything, the backstory of how he creates and stuff. Some of the situations he gets in sounds pretty, I mean, it's definitely risky, but at the same time, it's probably well worthwhile to do like that kind of stuff, which, you know, puts you where you're at right now, which is very applaudable. I've really thoroughly enjoyed listening to that, to your story and everything. But I did have one question, because you had mentioned about rappers that need to talk about educational stuff. Are you familiar with a rapper named Immortal Technique?
Yeah, I love Immortal Technique.
Yeah, he spits out, he throws out the truth bombs left and right, which I was always gravitated towards his craft and everything. And, you know, it's so true. Like these rap artists, they could be educating people with their music, but they're all psyoped by the government, by CIA psyops. But it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about making woke music because like most woke music is like obviously trash. Like you don't need to have like woke beats. Like you can still use the trap beats, but you don't gotta talk about like trap shit. Like it's so easy for like you don't have to talk about it. There's so much other shit that rhymes that's like cooler and better. Like why don't you just get some fucking intellectuals to like write you some bars that go with a trap beat, and then I don't know. Even like when like Drake did the God's Plan, he just like, why don't just do that every music video? Why don't just give out like the music video budget out to like other people and just, I don't know. But it's like a one-time type of thing.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. It was really good being here. And it was, hey, Giancarlo and Jennifer, it's always good to see you guys.
Hey, David.
But yeah, I'm in the middle of lunch right now, but I just wanted to step in and say hey.
Thanks for coming up, man. Appreciate you listening, being here, and coming up to ask the question. I always enjoy having you in the space.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hope y'all have a great day.
Hell yeah. Yeah, also, like, when I mentioned, like, because, like, when I spent, like, all that time, like, in the juvenile system, like, working with them, like, their main idol was NBA Youngboy. It's like, that's why you're here in the first place. Like, music is literally everything. Like, they can control entire communities, like, with your frequencies, and that's what they're doing. Like, the like frequencies are everything, and like the frequency we listen to is like, it really, it's like, doesn't sound, it's like that simple, but the music is literally what's making everyone do like the crazy fucking trap NBA Youngboy PSYOP shit. What's making everyone do this, it's what makes people think that like doing bad shit is cool. So like, you know, NBA Youngboy started doing like, not talking about that shit, but see, you still have the same beats, still have the same
beat. Exactly. Have a really cool beat, but be like, yo, help, you know, help a friend, go, you know, like, you know, lift up your brother, you know, I don't know, something like where like it's like encouraging and inspiring people to be good, genuine people, you know, as opposed to like going and being like, you know, vandalizing or, you know, like stealing shit or something, you know, yeah. So I feel you.
And that's the whole part of being like a lyricist. You're supposed to have wordsmith to it. So if you can elevate it, like, why not elevate it? You have the craft, you have the skill. Why not do it?
Yeah, 100%. I see we got Chun Li. How you doing? I haven't heard from you in a while. How you been?
Hi, Giancarlo. Hi, Jennifer. I'm doing well. It's quite late here. I'm still drawing. And I just came up here to say hi to Martin. I don't know if you remember me, but last year, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, we met in a space and he was drawing while we were talking. And it turned out that he was drawing a story about every one of us on stage. And at the time, there was... I don't know if you remember, but I don't know, someone asked me about being a lamp or something. And I started describing myself as a lamp, I think. And then guess what Marlon drew? he drew me as a lamp. As a table lamp, I think, where my nipples were lighting up. And that was just so funny. I kept it somewhere in the drawing, and it was just awesome. And that's the kind of person he is. He draws really, really great cartoons of people really quickly, really, really well to capture the character and all. So that's it. No questions. There's little flowers for you. Okay, that's it. Back to you guys.
Yeah, I remember that. That was like a time for sure. I was like going on a spree. I was like drawing a spaces every single day, which was like inspired by people. Like I wanted to do like everyday spaces and see, like, I want to do a space every single day, but it was like, it actually ended up being so much harder than I thought. Like I would like spend a day on each one. And it was like, I wasn't minting any because I was scared to like, I didn't want to mint something with someone else's likeness in it and they'll get mad. But maybe I'll bring it back, you know, just for the lulz, and that helped me get my following up like really good too, you know, got me known like in a lot of different spaces and stuff. But yeah, I've been wanting to bring it back, but yeah, it's dope that you came up and remembered that.
It was unforgettable. So I have to, I don't know, yeah, good luck with that, and bring it back. Yes, bring it back.
Yeah, we need like, it'd be cool if someone like could animate each spaces or something. Like, I feel like there's like some type of visual element that's needed for sure. But yeah, we got to bring it back for sure. Your PFD is dope though. I like, you drew that one, right?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Art is amazing. If you haven't like checked it out, I mean, she has awesome work. She was one of our spotlighted artists almost about a year ago. Actually, I think it was like last summer or so, last June. But amazing work as well.
Yeah, no, your art's amazing. It's just, I feel like you were, if you like, reminds me of being like in class or something. Like you'd probably, you like the best artist in the class or something. Like, it reminds me of, like, do you know, what's her name? Yuko Shimizu? That artist, Yuko Shimizu?
No, I can't Google her up.
Oh, yeah. No, I had her as, like, a teacher in SVA, and y'all remind me a lot of each other. It's, like, yeah, it's really, like, high-quality illustrative, like, published style work, you know? You definitely see it published, like, all over the place. But, yeah, you have amazing work, too.
Okay, I'm looking at her work. Okay, she is leagues ahead. I'm a pretender compared to her. She's really good.
Yeah, no, she's just, like, super professional and, like, you know, like, in high ranks of, like, New York illustrators. But I feel like, I feel like she would love you. Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Hey, this piece is about you. So back to you guys.
Oh, it's all good, Chun-Li. Thank you for coming up. Nice to hear from you. And yeah, I do actually, I did remember that moment you referenced about like the, because I remember people like sharing the art that Marlon made from that space. And I was like, wow, this is dope. I was trying to find that post, but I couldn't find it. But yeah, that's cool. Thanks for bringing that up and coming up as well. All right. I don't think we have any other speakers over here. So I just wanted to take a moment to, you know, really thank everybody that listened in today, that joined the space, that came up to speak. You know, appreciate all of you guys for the support. And Marlon, thank you so much for, yeah, just being our guest artist today, for sharing with us more about your life, your artwork, your journey, so much like great advice, I think, for a lot of the creatives that are here today. You know, like so many good things that I wrote down, took away, that I'm sure will benefit many of the people in the space here. You know, just about, you know, how to get more of their art seen and do what they love as well, right? To follow in those footsteps. So, man, really appreciate having you here. It's been great learning more about you and your art. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Like, the questions are super original and like fun. Definitely had a great time. You know, if anyone has any more like questions, you can definitely DM me, or like we can even have like another space or something. I'll probably have a space soon, but yeah, I'm definitely love to like share what I've learned and advice I've had or I have on how to just also push your IRL career and stuff forward. But you know, I'm still figuring it out. I'm still like getting up in the ranks, so little by little.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you, Marlon.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it. Appreciate how giving you are, man, with everything, you know, the knowledge, that your time and everything you're doing, man. It's amazing. And my family actually lives in Miami as well. And so I tend to go down there from time to time. So maybe next time I'm in that neck of the woods, I'll hit you up, man. I'd love to maybe meet up sometime.
Yeah, I'll definitely come through to the next event you have as well. Just, like, Art Basel is always, like, I'm just on the bike, like, hitting 50 different places, and I wanted to pass by, like, the event that you had, but no, we'll definitely, like, link up.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, have a great rest of the day, a great weekend, everyone. Take care. Thank you all.